There was a rich young man, and he asked a question about inheriting eternal life. And Jesus' response was, "It's impossible. It's harder than a camel going through the eye of a needle." Then the disciples had a question about sitting on the right and left hand of Jesus. "The first shall be last," says Jesus, "and the last shall be first. How can we do this? It's impossible." And then there's a blind man, and he kicked aside his mantle. He jumped up and he ran to Jesus. Now here's a question. How do we kick away our one thing and run to Jesus that way? Well, maybe it's impossible. And what about loving God and your neighbor, not because it's the law, because it makes you free? Impossible? So you know what Jesus says. He says, "These things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So this phrase, with God, all things are possible, you know that phrase, right? And I've seen it on mugs and fridge magnets and t-shirts and mouse pads and all kinds of stuff. And for me, and I think for others, the phrase has become a little bit trite. With God, all things are possible. Now here's the scene for today. The city and the temple are bursting at the seams with people. People are coming in from all of the surrounding areas to celebrate Passover. They're in high spirits, they're greeting each other, they're maybe finding a corner to have a rest, have a snack. Young and old, rich and poor, lots of people. And many of them are moving towards the treasury and they're depositing money. So earlier, into the midst of this scene, the disciples and Jesus have arrived after a long, long journey. And one of the first things Jesus does when he gets to Jerusalem is he goes to this temple. And what he sees are merchants, buyers and sellers, and he freaks out. And he gets really angry and he kicks them all out and he yells. And that's one of the first things he does after this long journey when they arrive in Jerusalem. So just imagine that. And I imagine what he says from a really deep place inside, "My house should be called a house of prayer for all the nations, a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of robbers." So now a day has passed, maybe a bit more, and he and the disciples are back at the temple. And this time he's silent. And he sits down quietly across from the treasury and he watches. He watches what Mark says are multitudes of people putting money into the treasury. I can't imagine multitudes of people putting money anywhere, but that's what's happening. Lots of them are rich. Lots of these people are rich and they're putting in large sums. And in the midst of all this are the scribes. They're in the hubbub of the crowd, and they're wearing their long robes, and they're enjoying the greetings and the admiration and the salutations of the people around them. So these guys are the ones who get the best seats in the synagogues, and they get to sit in the places of honor at all the feasts. But they're the ones who take advantage of widows and the poor. They're the ones who say long prayers. And they're putting on a pretty good act. They're enjoying, I think, the perks of popularity, and they're enjoying the perks of oppression. They're hypocrites. They're stealing from the widows, they're stealing from the poor, and likely part of what they're stealing, they're putting pretentiously back into the treasury box as if they're giving from what they have, but rather it's what they've stolen from others. They're hypocrites. They're mask wearers. This is a picture of the masks on the box today. So Jesus is observing this, the crowds, the scribes, the temple. This temple, a place which is really, really close to his heart, a place intended to be a house of prayer, now a theater for hypocrites. So now into this scene comes a woman, just a woman. We don't know her name. We don't know anything about her. She comes to the treasury quietly. And she puts in 2 pennies, And then she moves along. And in the midst of all this, Jesus sees her pretty quickly. And he calls his disciples and says, "This poor widow has put in more than all the rich ones here. They have contributed out of their abundance. She has contributed everything." So in their abundance, they've given, and they've still got something left. And she in her poverty has given, and now she has nothing. The scribes, those whose role it is to protect the widows, take advantage of them. They misuse their hospitality and they oppress them. Most likely this woman recognizes some of these scribes as she moves past them and sees them in the crowd. Yet despite this, I wonder, could it be that she too holds the temple as a house of prayer? Could it be that she gives all that she has because her hope for change dwells so deep within her? Could it have been an act of worship? Could it be that she was living out of a place of love rather than a place of law? I'm hoping that at least one of those questions you remember for another minute or two. So, you know, it's not the amount of money that's important, I don't think. Not the amount of money given by the rich or the poor or the scribes or the travelers or the folks who live there. It's more the intention of the giver, the motivation of the giver, the heart of the giver. And interesting that Jesus doesn't approach this woman at all. And she has no idea that her actions have been witnessed by Jesus himself. And I wonder, as he was sitting there, it doesn't say that he says these words, but I wonder if going through his mind was something like, "This woman is not far from the kingdom." And then there's the scribes, who no doubt felt that they were close to the kingdom. But story after story shows us that those who proclaim to be closest to the kingdom are the ones that Jesus struggles with most. So now the temple has become unrecognizable. The physical space is a marketplace, and those working in it have turned it into a den of robbers. It's a place of corruption. It has moved from a sacred space to a place to manipulate others, to wield power, and to seek to impress. I think that there are some very heavy masks in this place. People on one hand pretending to care for others, yet on the other hand, same day, taking advantage of them. We humans have a way of taking even the most sacred and using and abusing it for our own purposes and our own power. So we follow the downward spiral of Mark that we heard about. And as we follow the downward spiral of Mark, the temple itself becomes less and less important. The freedom of living in love does not require a temple. It asks that we love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, and that we love our neighbor as ourself. The freedom of living in love. I wonder if that is on its way too to becoming another trite phrase for some. The freedom of living in love. So we know the difference between giving because we have to and giving because we feel moved to. We know when we are following the law, and we know when we are able to move past the law and into love. I think we know the masks of hypocrisy that we wear, and we know when they slip and reveal a deeper truth inside. So, there's scribes, the widow, the disciples, and you are each of these. So, you scribes, can you hear the words of rebuke from Jesus when you think of the robes that you slip into and the masks that you wear? Because you do this. And I wonder what your robes look like. I wonder how hard it is for you to get that mask off. And what is your mask hiding? Can you identify with the scribes, those people who knew the law so well, yet forgot the beauty of it?
Yes, I think you can identify with them.
Now you oppressed people. Can you hear the applause of Jesus when you move into places of love? When you quietly lift up those who are sad or poor or suffering, because you do this. You know each other. You know that you are a generous people moving with integrity on this path. You walk with intention and humility. Can you identify with the widow, the woman who lived within the law, but found many opportunities to move beyond it? Yes, you do this. You do this too. And you disciples, you're out there. Can you hear the encouragement of Jesus as you stumble and trip over the learning along the way? When you relearn the same lesson over and over, when you don't get his teachings, yes, you do this. Can you identify with the disciples? That group who asked a question, heard the answer, had to ask the question again, but heard the answer, had to ask the question again, heard the answer. Can you identify with the disciples, those whom Jesus loved so much and who tried to follow him with integrity? You do this. You are on the way. You are the oppressed and the oppressor. You give and you take. You raise up and you push down. You live sometimes according to the law, sometimes according to love. You are hypocrites. You wear masks, but you take them off sometimes. You grow, you learn, you walk on the way. You give as an act of worship. Perhaps you are at times very far from the kingdom. Perhaps you are at times very, very close. So, you scribes, you oppressed, you disciples, you are as each of these.